I came into the industry pretty desperate and down on my luck. I had worked a corporate job, been let go with no notice, single mom of two kids. So I immediately got on food stamps and unemployment. And while I was looking for a job, I kept putting out my resume, going on interviews. I wasn't having any luck. One of my friends had joined a captive agency and they had made a sale. And I was like, okay, that's a cool, you know, $2,000, $3,000 right there that would really help me out. So I got my insurance license.
Wow.
And started with that agency. And I was, by the definition, uninspired. I could not align myself with the way they talk to their clients. I couldn't align myself with the plan. I did not feel good going to bed at night. I felt like I felt like some of the tactics were deceitful and pushy and dishonest, and like that just did not feel good to me. And I felt like there had to be a different path out there.
What is up? Welcome back to the CA Power Player Podcast. I'm your host, Cody Askins, and we have another incredibly special guest in office today. I love when people come in office and hang out. This individual is someone that we've known each other for years. We've been doing a lot of different stuff together. We went on a whole tour for a year of speaking together. She is unbelievable. Entrepreneur, now involved in multiple ventures, has grown in an agency to, I think, to over $100 million in total production since the beginning. Not a really long career. However, she's going to talk about her story, their system, free leads, all the different things they're doing to help agents actually sell remotely and earn their first six-figure income. I can promise you, you do not want to miss today's interview. Welcome back for the third or fourth time, Jesse Park.
Thank you so much, Cody. And it's $150 million.
Let's go. Even better. Right? That's awesome.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Appreciate you coming in down. Also, you're outside of Atlanta now.
Yes.
So it's a little easier to get here.
It is. Right? Direct flight.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Your agency is Inspired Insurance Solutions.
Correct.
If at any point during this interview, they're like, you know what? I kind of want to talk to Jesse Park. Where should they go? I kind of want to leave a link early.
Yeah, for sure. Joininspiredinsurance.com. All spelled out.
Inspire. And you know what? You inspire me.
Thank you.
Right? I think it's cool. And our industry needs more of that. I think you guys would agree. Let us know in comments below if you disagree. But I think our industry can be very, it can be inspiring early on, but a lot of people end up in the business and they get uninspired.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious of your journey and if you were as inspired then as you are now.
Actually, I'm really glad you asked that because, you know, I'll tell you how I came into the industry at first. And I came into the industry pretty desperate and down on my luck. I had worked a corporate job, been let go with no notice, single mom of two kids. So I immediately got on food stamps and unemployment. And while I was looking for a job, I kept putting out my resume, going on interviews. I wasn't having any luck. One of my friends had joined a captive agency and they had made a sale. And I was like, okay, that's a cool, you know, $2,000, $3,000 right there that would really help me out. So I got my insurance license.
Wow.
And started with that agency. And I was, by the definition, uninspired. I could not align myself with the way they talk to their clients. I couldn't align myself with the plan. I did not feel good going to bed at night. I felt like I felt like some of the tactics were deceitful and pushy and dishonest. And like that just did not feel good to me. And I felt like there had to be a different path out there. So I ended up switching a couple different agencies. I finally found one that I've since grown my business with now to $150 million in net annualized premium.
No big deal.
No big deal. They have free leads. It's incredible. They have 300 different carriers. And the thing that happened, that shift between whenever I first started and whenever I found what I feel like home was I felt the freedom to be myself without having to follow a certain script, to be pushy with clients, to talk down to clients. And for me, that's whenever I blossomed as a salesperson and found out that the more you just talk to people and the more you just get to know them and build rapport, you can not only make a sale, you can make money, but you can do right by the client. And it felt really freaking good.
That's awesome. It would feel good. And you know what's interesting is I feel like, how often do you feel like deceitful tactics in general are happening, and what should an agent do when they just feel like they're not on board with what's happening and they're like, but they're being told to do it. Yeah. Or you're not going to do well.
You know, listen to your gut instinct. I was in that area of unhappiness and like not feeling aligned with my true self for about 4 months. Mm. And it was horrible. I would go to bed crying at night. I just did not feel good about what I was doing. Mm. And, you know, my career path and everything I had done up until that point, I felt like, wait, so this is what I'm slimy now? Like, it just did not feel good. And so I would just tell anyone, if you are being told to say something or do something and it doesn't feel good to you, it doesn't align with who you are,
yeah,
look for something different.
Good. Yeah. It's crazy how prevalent that is. Also, too, like, I think it's what's really cool is you're very honest and vulnerable and raw about your story, like single mom, food stamps. I would say from like food, I think we've even mentioned this before, like from food stamps to financial freedom,
yeah,
you know, which is really cool.
Yeah.
You found a home now, right? And you've had the freedom to be yourself. But before then, what did those first few months look like? How does it differ from how it is now? Mm-hmm. Kind of talk through your journey there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess whenever you are not feeling inspired, I like using this, when you're not feeling inspired, you don't have the inclination to do what you have to do. So like for me, I've always been remote. I have never had to door knock or do anything like that. Even the very first agency was remote.
Would you like to start door knocking?
No.
You're okay.
Oh, no. No thanks. Do you see this?
Like, I did.
I can't sit on anyone's couch. Like, no.
I sat on so many cat piss filled couches.
Oh, Lord.
No joke. I'm talking like, this is wild. This is nothing to do with your brand, so I shouldn't even share this. Like, you're the total opposite of this. However, I remember being in a house in Joplin and about an hour or whatever from here, and there was like this kitchen door frame and literal cockroaches going around the door frame. And I'm sitting there across from someone trying to help them with life insurance, and there's cockroaches all around. I'm feeling like there's got to be stuff on this couch. Eventually, I sit like on the very edge of the couch, you know what I mean? Like this, holding myself up, you know what I mean? I'm just like,
and
what
I bet
am
they
I doing?
Like had no, they're just like, oh yeah, that's Bob.
Yeah, it's just like, I was like, it was like, you talked about your home. It's like home.
Yeah.
I mean, it was their home, I guess, but yeah, it was just normal,
yeah,
you know? And I remember that thinking, is this really what I want to, like,
yeah,
I want to sit here forever, you know what
yeah
I mean?
Yeah, it's
I respect those that will go through that and do that.
Me too.
And they can earn great living doing it. But
yeah,
I wasn't signed up for that forever.
I feel like that's like the old school way though, you know?
It is.
And
it is.
And that's what, you know, it's been mainly men in this industry, mm-hmm, for 30, 40, 50 years, 60 years, and that is what's been passed down. It's the
correct
way. You know, luckily I came into the industry in late 2016.
Wow.
Whenever leads was just taking off, phone sales was just starting to be a thing.
You've only been in this thing like literally just over 7 years.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's all I've ever done is remote work. And I mean, I just respect to those that do it. But mm-hmm, as a woman myself, I
yeah
personally don't want to put myself in a situation. I've watched too many true crime. I do not want to go to anyone's house. Like, I'm not like inviting you to
yeah
to murder me or
I won't
know
even share the other story then that is way worse than the one I just shared. I'm going to save that one.
Okay.
I don't even know if I should ever share it, to be honest.
You
just made me think about something
all
though. Jeez Louise, you just made me think about something. We'll just say, I don't even know what to call it, but like this is good that Abby's going to get this on camera. There was like a, maybe there's a better way to put this, like a lady of the night that like ran out of a bedroom with no clothes on in the middle of an appointment and like ran through the house while some guy was like threatening to kill her. And I'm just like, and I'm sitting there and instead of like leaving, I make the sale as fast as possible and then leave. So I still got the sale, which is hilarious. Looking back now, it's probably like $200, right? But
yeah,
and then she leaves and like just goes running down the street. And I'm just like,
what did you just see?
What am I doing? And I was new.
Yeah.
I was new. Oh, it was like Lord. One of my first, like, it was one of my first few months.
Yeah.
And I was terrified.
I could never, you know.
Yeah.
So that was one of the reasons that kind of drew me to the industry. Like I said, single mom and mm-hmm. two kids, you could stay at home and work. And that's really kind of what drew me in. It just happened to be that that place was not something I felt aligned with. So I found something else. And since then, all of our trainings are remote. We focus on teaching agents from the beginning, like, what is a copay? What's a deductible, right? They come to us with literally no knowledge. Some of them come with knowledge, which is great, but we guide them through everything. We do seven trainings a week.
Seven
a week. We do new agent training.
That's cool.
So we have brought people up. Some of them I have never met in person.
Wow.
Not because I don't throw team events, because sure, I do, sure. But they just love working from home, and that's what they do.
And they're all over the country.
Yeah, they're all over the country. I even have awesome. An agent in Paris, and I have an agent in, what's that other one, Bahamas.
They're from here and they're just working remote, or they're back to see family?
They're expats. They live in a different country.
What'd you call it?
Expat.
Expat.
That's a word.
Huh. Yeah, no, I believe you. you're inspiring me today, with your vocabulary.
Thanks.
I didn't... expat. I love that. You know what? I just met an expat.
Yeah.
Whatever that means actually means. But like
now I need to Google it, because now I'm questioning.
You're probably
myself.
Right. You guys tell us, man. Look this up and you know what? You guys are watching this. Put it in comments.
Is that a real
judge?
Did
vocab
I just
today.
Make that up?
It's a person who lives outside their native country.
A person who lives outside their native country.
Okay.
Abby for the win. Jesse is right.
Yes.
Okay. I love that. I just met one that, like, literally he's been to 36 countries in the last, I don't know, 2 years or something.
Nice.
Like crazy. He just came back from Philippines for like a mastermind to like talk. And I'm like, that's really cool though.
Yeah. This is the perfect career to be able to build a life to where you could do that.
Yeah. I mean, we used to travel a ton. We were going to a ton of the same events together. I mean, I think we saw each other probably 24 times inside of like
a year.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. It was amazing, right? Love hanging out with Jesse. That's why we're hanging out again today. But you also enjoy being home now.
I do.
And I think there's other people that like, Maybe they came from a career that they had to travel a lot, and they're like, I don't want to anymore.
Yeah.
I just want to work from
even
my house.
Like the commute. Like if it's just a commute, sometimes that can get to be a lot on you and weigh. Yeah. And when you calculate how many hours per week that you're spending in the car instead of being at home or what have you, you know, it adds up. So
people commute a long ways too.
Yeah.
Like my commute is 1.4 miles to the office. Like that. I don't mind that. That's
not
good.
Bad.
I can get about one song in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's awesome. There's so many ways I could take this. You mentioned free leads though, which is very intriguing because most places don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all kinds of ways I could take it, but I'm interested to hear like more about the system that y'all plug agents into and how you're helping them earn a living remotely. Without it paying for leads, being an expat, being an in-home pat, whatever.
So I first want to say that free lead system saved my life because whenever I started, I was broke. Like, I think everyone knows this. Like,
explain broke.
Food stamps. I think my allowance was $286 a month for food. And then
for the whole month.
Yep. And then $500 Jeez a month Louise. For unemployment.
Wow.
So $786 a month. That's it.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Geez.
So that's broke. So
when you first started insurance, how much money did you have like saved up?
Oh, I mean,
bank
I was
account,
by that point in time, I was living off credit cards. I was massively in debt. Probably.
So you were very negative.
Very negative. Yeah. Very negative. So like the thought of buying leads, I couldn't. Like I literally couldn't. I was just living, you know, to try to find something to get back on my feet with my kids.
Yep.
And so this free lead system just really... when I saw the free leads, the other agency I came from, you had to buy leads, right? I couldn't afford that. So this free lead system, like I said, saved my life. And I went into hyper work mode. I was like, they're going to give me free leads. I'm going to call these free leads.
Mm-hmm.
And I dialed like 400 to 600 a day.
Wow.
Sometimes I'd work for 11, 12 hours a day, just dialing like a maniac. And, you know, the thing whenever you... are an independent broker, you own your own business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, if I could work 40 hours for this company and they just let me go just like that, can I work 40 hours for myself? Can I work 50, 60, right? No one wants to work like that forever. But the thing with insurance is that it's not a forever thing. I knew if I dialed like that in the beginning, I would set myself up to start receiving residual income, which was a brand new concept to me, by the way. Residual income on month 7. And then 8, and then 9, and then 10. And so I did. I dialed like a maniac. I wrote $1 million in business in 8 months.
Wow.
And since then, have just grown a team. I, through all that dialing, I came up with a script that is easy. It free flows. It cares about the client. It reassures them. Like all of these things that I feel like in sales we're not taught to do.
Yeah.
Right? We're taught to cram things and have objections, rebuttals, and stuff. And like I just don't align with that. So I came up with something that I feel much more comfortable with. And since then, I've taught that script in my way of selling, which I feel like is more feminine. You know, I don't know if you would agree with me, but just more
feminine and softer. Yeah, I've seen it and I've seen pieces of it.
Yeah.
I think it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I do think women sell very different than men. And I think that's also good.
Yeah.
It's okay. You know, like, I like that you embrace that. Do you attract more women or men to your agency?
Both.
Both.
I would say 50-50.
Cool.
I mean, very, very much both.
Which is cool though, because I bet if you look at a lot of other agencies or companies, it's very male dominant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Percentage is higher.
There's a lot of agencies that I like to call them the insurance bros. Nothing wrong if you want to be an insurance bro.
You want to be a part of a fraternity.
Yeah.
This is like the fraternity and sorority of friends.
Yeah. 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 So it's incredible. Yeah. So I walk agents through how to sell and what to say. And since then, like I said, I started with just me not having any money to start anything, nothing like that. No money given to me, very negative. And to since then, 7 years, have grown an agency that's surpassed 150 million. We have over 200 agents. I'm still very active in training.
That's awesome.
I have a whole staff that helps agents get up and going and teaches them from the beginning what to do. They just have to bring the work ethic and they have to bring the want to the table. Other than that, we teach them everything else.
Yeah, you definitely got a great team. Yeah, for sure. I'm meeting Amelia today, which is awesome. Yeah. And then I have met other team members over the years. Stacy's incredible.
Jordan's my daughter. She works for me now. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, funny story.
She's so cool.
About Jordan. So when my kids, whenever I first started, you don't have to put this in the interview. I just think it's really funny. So, you know, I had these leads and I put them to work. I made my daughter dial when she was 13 years old.
Let's go.
So like all she was supposed to do was just call. And when someone answered the phone, if she had like a little one-liner, are you still looking for health insurance? Would you like a free quote? She would hand it off to me.
Mm.
That little girl was really good. And I ended up selling, I mean, not a lot, maybe like 3 policies, but she barely worked. She was 13, you know, I got her when I could. But I'm really proud that now she's 21. She's
21 now?
Yes, I know. She's agent support specialist at Inspired Insurance Solutions, and she recently got licensed.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. That's so cool. Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, she's really impressive.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
She's always traveling with you at events and stuff, so that's cool.
She's a huge supporter of me, and then of course, you know, it is a family business. So that's one of the best, I feel like, things I could have done for my kids is work so hard. I always say this. I always say I thank my earlier self so much because it set up the life that we have today.
Yeah. Yeah, on that note, I feel like there's so many individuals that want overnight success. They expect to be you when it took you over 7 years. They expect to be you in 7 months. They don't put in the hours, or they just know a ton or whatever. And I feel like there's so many limiting beliefs or things that are really hurting agents, and it's really them hurting themselves. Or they won't dial that much. You know, do you feel sorry for them when they won't after what you went through?
No.
Okay.
Not at
all. Because you have a big heart. You care a ton.
I do.
But you also expect people to like.
I really want it for them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I really, really want. And I will. I'll answer my phone at 11 o'clock at night. I'll help you put together a quote. I will. No, I will give you, if you're putting in the work and I'm your mentor, I will give you everything. But what I learned early on is that you can't want it more than they do. I can't fly to your house, walk in your door, pick up your phone and dial for you. I can't do that. You know, it's your business. You're setting up your future self for success. You need to put in the work. So no, I don't feel sorry for them if they don't. It's just not meant for them.
Yeah. I like that. That's a positive way to put it. Yeah. That's totally okay. It's not for everybody.
Yeah. It's hard work.
Yeah. I mean, only 8% succeed. Yeah. I would assume that more than 8% succeed in your agency.
We have a tad bit higher than that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's really cool. One of the things I wanted to talk about too that I think is unique is, and we were talking about this before the interview, is the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And someone may be unlicensed or brand new to this, or they have no idea yet. Yeah. And this is true for any industry, any business, whatever, but there are different models of culture in our industry.
Mm-hmm.
Some, very, very bro heavy and testosterone and alpha and freaking crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
Close the sale, bro.
Yeah. Wolf of Wall Street. Yeah. Call, you know, like, right?
Yeah.
And there are, but, and there's, can be some good cultures there.
Yeah.
But there's just so many different types of cultures. There's some bad cultures for sure where it's like, I would not be caught dead working in that environment with those individuals.
Yeah.
Right? For sure. What's your opinion on this and how have you been, because you've been able to, freedom to be yourself and do your own thing with Inspired.
Mm-hmm.
What have you tried to embrace from a culture standpoint?
Sure. So I did have a couple rough experiences prior to where I ended up at. And so I'm very familiar with that Wolf of Wall Street, close it until they, you know, talk to them until they hang up on you.
Buy or die.
Yeah.
It's a little extreme.
I couldn't get down with that. So what I tried to create is foster an environment where everyone really helps each other. And it took me years to create this. Years and years. And I went through people that had ego and they didn't want to contribute and, you know, they were really good at sales, but not very, you know, friendly to other agents. And right. And so like, it's taken me years to create what I have now. And it is a, we have an app that we all share, every single agent's in there, and someone will post a question and someone else will answer it. They even say, hey, I have this lead. I can't help. Does anyone want it? It's Medicare in Ohio. Who has Ohio?
It's a cool community.
It is. And, like we recently threw, I rented out like 4 bays at Topgolf. People flew into that.
Oh my gosh.
From all over the country, flew in to sit and play Topgolf with us. And awesome. I had like fajitas and I had drinks and things like that.
So cool.
But it's just, they wanted to meet each other.
Yeah.
Because they had already Zoomed and saw each other in our meetings that we have and helped each other and stuff. And so it just has been building an environment where everyone truly cares about each other's success. And our bonus program works in a way to where like if so-and-so does really well, then my bonus is going to be bigger.
Yes.
And I think that also contributes to the overall culture that we have, which is just very friendly and it's still sales, right? And we still cheer each other on. But it's, I mean, overall, it's just, I think, miles of improvement beyond what I experienced.
Yep.
And I'm very thankful that they don't ever have to experience that. Yeah. I shield them from a lot of those things.
That's cool. Did you sub out the bar cart for Topgolf?
Yes.
And our audience has no clue what I'm talking about. That's an inside joke and reference, right? But I think it was cool. I would love to hear you talk about how that agency's transitioned a little bit too.
Yeah. So prior to COVID, actually like during the year of COVID, I bought a building. I bought a 6,000 square foot building for my insurance agents to come and work and dial and things like that.
Beautiful. It was a beautiful office.
Yeah. I had a bar cart that we had Thirsty Thursdays on. So every Thursday we would roll it around. They could have 2 drinks. It was a fun, fun time.
For sure. And you used to mention that at events.
Yeah.
And my team would always look at me.
Right?
You know,
it's
so funny.
Yeah. And then over the course of the time I owned the building, people just kind of slowly stopped coming in and I felt like they were just more inclined to work from home. So I asked everyone like, hey, what do you like about this job? And one of the first things was that they get to work from home. So cool. I ended up selling the building and then selling my home in Florida and then combining the two together and buying what I like to call my dream estate in Georgia. I don't know if anyone else would call it an estate, but it is beautiful. And I worked very hard for it. And I'm very happy with the move and transitioning to all remote. has actually been incredible. We've actually started to, our sales have been better. And I think it's just because, you know, you don't have to commute. You don't have to get ready. You just, whatever you do in your morning, get your coffee, sit down, start dialing. We have Zoom meetings every day. So we do a champion check-in every day.
Champion check-in. Champion, what is that? Talk through that. I love that. That's really cool.
9 a.m. Get on Zoom with us. We go over your goals, your daily goals, your non-negotiables, which means that you will work until midnight and to get this non-negotiable done. And we want to get people up to being able, comfortable dialing 400 to 600 a day within their first 3 months.
400 to 600 a day within their first 3 months.
And how
many get comfortable with that?
A handful. Okay. Like, right. So a handful. We have, we interview probably, Cody, like no less than 100 people a month to work with us.
Wow.
But we don't choose everyone.
About how many?
Do we choose? Last new agent training, we had 19.
Okay.
Yeah. So
it's about 20%-ish.
Yeah. 20%. And then out of the 20% who sits and dials and makes it a career, you know the numbers. You know how it works.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
So I'd say a handful end up doing well.
What could help someone's chances? Say they're intrigued by you, inspired, or they're starting a new agency wherever in the world, you know, whatever. Like what can help their chances of, like, because you're going to hear people that watch this and be like, man, dude, I would love to grow up and be Jesse Park, you know, and or I really want to be successful, or I'm a single mom, or hey, I'm on food stamps, or I'm military, and I'm just like, or man, I really need to make this work. And then they're going to wonder, what should I be doing? And so I'm kind of curious, like, of those that do well, what do you notice?
Good question. The most important thing I think would be they usually have a very strong why. So they usually have, maybe they're a single parent, or
you did and do.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And or they're ready for a change. Like for me, what fueled me is it was like a culmination of everything. I was at rock bottom. I was a single parent. I was very desperate. And also I had grown tired of the corporate world, I guess, without realizing it. And for me, the insurance, the thought of building something that pays you forever was just so intriguing to me. I had to really try.
Yeah. So it's so attractive for sure. Is there a, cause you do have a very strong why, is there a fear of like what motivates you today? Some people it's like a fear of loss. Some people it's, I just have a passion and love. Some it's.
That's a great question. So I think you know this, right? I grew up in a lower income family. And I remember as a kid sometimes being hungry and not having the best clothes in school and things like that. And then as I grew into an adult, that cycle repeated itself. And I had a really hard time crawling out of it. And put myself through school, racked up $60,000 in student loan debt, and really thought, like, gosh, I just can't get out from underneath this, like, heavy burden of poverty. And so for me, that is still very palpable, and I still remember it very well. So I never want to go back there again. So I just, every day, I work to ensure that not just myself, like, I don't think I'll ever fall back into it again. I've saved up. I've done substantially well for myself, but it's still a fear for my kids.
Interesting. That makes a ton of sense. And how did that make you feel as a child?
What, like being just hungry?
Yeah. Or not, like, you know, you dress nice. Yeah. You know, you've got, you know, amazing Execulux bag over here, right? You know, you have a different lifestyle now, right? You've even, you don't have them now, but you've even had the exotic cars in the past, right? And you know, the incredible office, some of those things. Yeah. I mean, is that, how did it make you feel? Or did you even notice that, like, I was, and you may have had, you know, an amazing childhood. You know, you can still
I was very loved.
Yeah, you can still have amazing parents and feel very loved without having money.
Yeah.
Okay. But you can also see that other people have stuff that you don't.
Oh, yeah, 100%. This is probably, I don't know if I've ever talked about this before, Cody. But there was a point in time whenever and my parents had their own problems and things like that. And so there were certain times whenever we didn't have a lot at all. And so I became very good at, this is kind of embarrassing.
This is good. Pay attention. This is new stuff today.
Yeah, I know. At stealing. I would go to the stores and like wear baggy clothes and like put on layers of other clothes underneath my clothes. And I had some nice stuff, but it was all free. And
that's different than the free leads.
Yeah, no.
You don't have to steal those.
Okay? Yeah, no. So I just.
But obviously you don't love that that's your past,
no,
but it is what you are being vulnerable and sharing.
Because
we've all done stuff. We've all had stuff. Like, you know, you guys.
It became nobody's like gonna habitual. Judge that. It became habitual to where.
It can become a part of your world.
Yeah. I knew I wasn't going to get clothes for school or whatever. So I would go and I became very good at it. But I made a promise that the day I turned 18, I would stop. And I did. Because it's not worth going to jail for. And by then I had a job. I worked at McDonald's and I could buy, if I needed clothes, I could buy them for myself. But I started stealing probably when I was like 12.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang. Well, you've turned out to be an amazing human being, right?
Thanks. Yeah.
Can't believe I didn't know that. Yeah. We've had so many
I know.
Good
conversations. I mean, it's
this
not,
one's been a little deeper today. Yeah, this has been good.
It has. Yeah. It's I hope the law doesn't come and get me now. It's been a really long
time. I got
your
back.
Okay. But one time I set off the alarm at Kmart.
No way.
Yeah.
Did they, what happened?
Nothing.
They just let you go?
Well, they.
Or you ran?
No. So they didn't come out the door. And I just ran, like fast walk, like, you know, and then turned around and there was nobody after me. And I was like,
We're not training you on this.
No,
today,
don't
okay?
do
For
it.
For the record.
Don't do it.
If
don't
we were.
Do don't do it.
Fast walk is good.
Don't do it. No, it was embarrassing then, you know, to even like do that, you know, and have to like do all of that. And
but even then, here's a positive spin on that. Even then, you wanted a better life for yourself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just wanted some nice things.
Yeah. And I think everybody would love some nice things.
Yeah.
Now, and some people's motivation isn't money. I would say your motivation isn't money.
No, not
I would
necessarily.
Say it's an amazing thing to have.
Yeah.
It's great. You'll take more of it.
Yeah.
But you can do more good with it.
Yeah.
Right? You can give it all to, like, we're doing for the golf tournament, we're giving money to charity this year as part of 8%, right? Some cool stuff like that, right? Feels amazing. But you can't give to charity if you don't have it.
Yeah.
Right?
You know what feels the best to me now is I bought my dad a house.
No way.
Yeah.
Where at?
Illinois.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What part?
It's called Lawrenceville.
Okay.
You've probably never heard of it.
No.
And then I bought my mom a car.
Oh my gosh.
And
what kind
then
of car?
A Toyota Camry.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
How does that feel?
It feels incredible. Incredible to be able to do that. I help with my sister's kids. My sister passed away. So I help with her, their dad with the kids, with school supplies and Christmas gifts, and they come visit me every summer, and all of that feels incredible. So like, is money the motivating factor? Yes and no.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I want to do well, but to me, what feels the most incredible is building up something to where I feel like now I can take care of my parents.
Such a cool feeling.
Yeah.
You're about to get me emotional listening to your story today. You know? So good. We talk about fear of loss. Talk about how what it made you feel as a kid. Do you think that care? You think early adulthood? Do you think what you were doing as a child, what you didn't have, whatever, right? Do you think that carried into adulthood? Do you think that happens a lot?
I do. I mean, I think it's probably the natural cycle of poverty, right? You grow up and you don't have a lot, and you don't have a lot of prospects either to be able to. I had 6 scholarships, right, from when I graduated, but it was really hard to utilize any of them because there was no money for room and board. So I couldn't go to college. I ended up going to college later, but not at that time.
You say, because, you just mentioned $60,000 in student loan debt.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So,
which is, you know, obviously love student loan debt.
Right?
Big fan.
Yeah. So, I do feel like that fear of that whole, yes, it does stick with you. Mm-hmm. Like, it does stick with you. And I feel like no matter how well you do or how detached you are from the way you used to be, and even like my taste in food has changed and things like that, right? I just feel like
mine too.
Right? Yeah. It's still very much there, and I still feel very connected to it, and you know, it's, and there's nothing wrong with you want to live like that if you're okay with minimally having things, right?
For sure.
But for me, it always felt like on the brink of like being scared.
Yeah.
That I wasn't going to have a place to stay or a car anymore. And like, I, you know, it's just it, whenever things like that happen to you, whenever you're a kid or a young adult, that fear is like etched into your soul. And I feel like it just like propels you for the rest of your life. I think that's why, if you notice, like whenever someone hits rock bottom and they build themselves up, they do extremely well versus most of the time when people are given inheritances or things like that, they don't do well.
Correct. Yeah. They literally, I've heard so many stories of that exact same thing where it's like, it's interesting because nobody wants to hit rock bottom, but it's such a better story when you do.
Yeah.
And then you bounce back.
Yeah.
And you're helping yourself and your family. And, you know, like you also talked about, like you just mentioned breaking, you mentioned the poverty, the cycle of poverty.
Yeah.
You broke it.
Yeah.
You know, that's gonna be pretty cool too.
Yeah.
Right. Cause my parents broke it for us.
Yeah.
And I could have been like, yeah, we didn't have money when I was born, but then later in life we did. And I could have been the spoiled brat that was lazy because my dad was making almost $1 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could inspire me
to
want a similar
or build your
even
own,
better life
in
my own life.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
It's interesting because there's so many angles.
Exactly. Yeah. It's incredible. And, you know, I just, even from a young age, I just always knew I just wanted better than what I had. Mm-hmm. And what I had wasn't bad. Like I said, I was very loved. My parents were great people. They loved me very much. Nothing ever happened to me. Like you hear all kinds of bad stories with kids.
Absolutely. Yeah. You had a very fortunate, amazing, blessed childhood.
I did.
Compared to so many.
Yeah. I did.
As did I.
I did. Yeah. Right. It's just that difference between going to school and seeing what's possible and, you know, what I have and everything. I just wanted more. I just wanted to have a better life and not worry so much about, you know, that was like a constant discussion with my parents. Like whenever you talk in front of your children like that, they absorb those things. And so I just remember money being a topic of discussion between my parents as little as I can remember. You know, about having enough money. It was always that we don't have enough money. We don't have enough money.
Was that ever communicated? I'm sure it was, but like you wanted something and you just
all the time
couldn't have it.
All the time.
You know?
Yeah. All the time. But you know what? They made miracles happen.
Amen.
One time I got a Sega.
That's
and
cool.
A trampoline all in one Christmas.
That's a great Christmas.
What?
Did you ever play the Sega on the trampoline?
No.
Oh, okay. That'd be a good combo gift there, man.
Yeah. No, they made miracles happen. And
that's awesome.
We were never like lacked, you know, I guess. Like,
were they ever entrepreneurs at all?
No.
Okay. Yeah. What made you want to be one then? Or did you?
Yeah. Well, you know, I have another story. You ready to go back in time?
Yeah, let's do it.
So I don't know if it's like stems from this or what have you, but one time when I was 11, I got a...
This is before the stealing.
This is before the stealing. It started being tangent with the stealing.
Ah.
So I got a magazine in the mail from a company called Sunshine Sales Club.
Sunshine Sales Club.
Yeah.
Got it.
And essentially, it was like... You know those fundraisers in school that they sell stationery or candles
bars,
or
candles. Yeah.
Right. So it was just a bunch of stuff like that. Candy tins, cookie tins, wrapping paper, stuff that people just kind of like buy because they have extra money.
Sure.
Well, the thing was is that if you sold enough, they had different tiers. You could earn different things in the back of the book. So I ended up riding my bike door to door. I did this for years, by the way, and selling enough to where I had everything in the back of the book. So I had
seriously.
Yeah, I had the clear wireless phone. You were not born yet, probably. I had
clear wireless phone.
Cordless phone. You know, because there were cords back then.
God,
this was new to not have a cord.
You're making me feel young. This is good.
Yeah, I had the red Heart Lips phone. I had the big boom box.
How many phones did you need? You were 11.
No, I was 12, 13, 14, 15. Okay, I did it for a long time. So finally, I started, or you could take cash. You could get $2 per item. So that really, when I got that stack of cash, I was like, all right. So whenever I'd go to the store and steal, I would steal what I couldn't afford. So yeah, it's that. So that really, I mean, that propelled me. And then, of course, you know, I went into the workforce. I got a job at McDonald's. I worked various things. And then I opened up my first company when I was 20. I made candles. I sold them online. I didn't sell very many.
That's interesting, though.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a bunch of stuff you don't know.
It's coming out today. Yeah. We've done this 3 or 4 times. This is great.
I HTML'd my own website.
Shut up.
Because
no,
templates were not. Yeah, this was.
Was it terrible?
No, it was actually pretty good. You could even still see it on waybackmachine.com. You can go back to year 2000.
Waybackmachine.com. Have you ever heard of this? I've never heard of this.
Yeah, you can go back and see what websites used to look like.
No way.
Yeah.
I would love to look that up when we're done here. This is great.
Yeah. I did that. And then I got into soap making and then I actually sold that company a couple years later. And then I went back to corporate. It was always a juggle because I had my kids young. So it was.
But you wanted to do stuff.
I did. Like, I did. But I wrestled with having to provide. So
interesting.
I'd always go back to corporate.
And if the money's not there, it makes sense. It's like, okay, at some point I got to provide. I can't do this. It's like an early musician that like believes, but nobody else believes. Yes. And they're not making any money. And, you know what I mean? That's cool. A couple really cool stories of origin.
Yeah.
That I think you should share more. Couple reasons. One. You proved that you could sell at an early age and you were and when you were part of like incentive programs and making money and doing stuff and, you know, you fell in love with it and did amazing, right? Obviously, you took all of those skills of cordless phones and earning those things into, you know, insurance. But also, too, like doing candles and soaps, you know, because you've got a couple of different like e-com style businesses now.
Yeah.
That are not adjacent to insurance. They're just like passion projects that you've been able to do now as like a, I don't even know if I'd call it a side hustle because it's like really impressive stuff that's doing really well. But it's, won't you tell them about those couple items really quick? And then I want to get into like how long you waited before you started doing some of these other things.
Oh, sure.
Because I know agents are going to be like, they're making $4 a week and you know, they're brand new, they're not doing well, but they're going to think of all these other
things they could be doing in the meantime. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trust me. I even had thoughts of that. Like when I first started, by the way, I was horrible. I didn't, like I said, already align with the script and the products and stuff. I really thought I could drive Uber and shuttle people around while I made dials. Like I never did it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I
used to think I could be, some people could be like a truck driver and also sell insurance over the phone at the same time.
Yeah. No, that's difficult.
Yeah.
So my two businesses are, one is a luxury line of bags that are made for executive men and women. It's called Executlux.com. We were on New York Fashion Week last September.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm looking at one. They're gorgeous. They're
awesome. That's Amelia's.
Yeah. Yeah,
I made her buy it.
Way to go, Amelia. It's nice. It's very nice. She was rolling it in.
Right, yeah.
It's like a female version of like the briefcase. You know? It's really cool.
So in its first year of business, it sold $250,000 dollars. So yeah, definitely not little side hustles.
No.
But, you know, it took a while to get there. And then my other one is Elysian Parfume. And that's I've taught myself how to make perfume.
Parfum. Like, what? She's saying, we're in Missouri, Jesse.
I know. Perfume.
We can't spell or talk. We're good, though.
I've eaten the food. I know.
Yeah.
And then, so that one just won, actually, this last weekend, won Best New Fragrance of 2024.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
it's like a whole party and everything, wasn't it? Yeah.
Huge. Yeah. Huge.
So cool.
Yeah. So it was.
And how do you say the perfume brand?
Elysian.
Elysian. Yeah. That's right.
E-L-Y-S-I-A-N. I used to mispronounce
it, for sure.
Yeah.
Elysian. That's cool. That's fun to say. How'd you come up with the name?
It's actually my niece and nephew's name combined. Alicia and Evan combined together. And you know what's crazy? I'm not going to cry. I'm fine. I'm better at talking about this now. But when my sister passed away, I kept thinking, like, what could I do? You know, what did we both like? What can I do to tribute her? Like, is there something I want to build a company for the kids so they can work for it one day? And like one of our last interactions before she passed away was her smelling this one perfume and just loving it and going over all the notes. And I was like, you know what? That's what I want to do. So when I combined the two names together and I Googled it to see if it was a real word, right? I didn't even realize it is a real word and it means of heaven. Which I think is just
shut up.
No, dead ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
You're okay. Wow.
Yeah. Dead serious.
I'm literally getting goosebumps as you're sharing that. That's so amazing.
Dead serious. It means of heaven, paradise, spiritual angels. Like, I was just like, okay, that's her blessing.
That's the name.
Yeah.
Wow. It's got an amazing story to go along with it. That's so cool.
Yeah.
That you're able to share that as you're doing that too. And remember her at the same time.
Yeah. It feels so good. Awesome. It feels like this is, you know, I love working on the e-com companies. Insurance is my main love and what I do on a daily basis. But yes, my e-com companies, it's a diversifying my portfolio. And then the perfume one is just something I'm in love with. And yeah, it makes me feel like I'm close to her, that I get to work with her every day. It's cool. Yeah.
So awesome.
Yeah, I love it.
But, and how long did you do insurance, and at what stage did you actually start considering adding these additional revenue streams and companies to what you do?
Yeah, sure. So I started insurance in 2016, and then I started the initial just brainstorming concepts for the e-com in late 2021. So that would have been, what's that, 5 years?
Five and a half, almost six years
before I started diversifying.
I love that. And that's even sooner than most, but you've also, people don't realize like the amount of success you've had in a shorter period of time. Most people, when they're in business a little over 7 years or whatever, they're not, their agency's not doing $150 million, right? So it's a very unique situation, which I think is super impressive. I think there's two things to take away from that. One, stop trying to do all this stuff. You know what I mean? Like earn a living for your family. But if you want insurance, if you want to succeed in insurance, succeeded insurance. And when you're like, oh, I made 112 grand last year. Okay. Doesn't mean you should.
You're not there yet.
Parfum. Yeah. Doesn't mean you're ready for that. No. Right. But you know, so, and two, like, what's your opinion on not really how soon that they, like, on just what they need to be focused on a week-to-week basis to make sure they're actually succeeding? Because we just get so distracted nowadays. Yeah.
So I always tell new agents to set short and long-term goals, right? A short-term goal should be definitely obtainable, maybe make you stretch a little bit. For me, I always recommend to new agents to try to get at least 15 sales a week. Mm. And that could be a bundle of products, right? It's typically about 4 to 5 clients. You can give each client a nice bundle of 4 to 5 different products. And so I think that's a really nice short-term goal. And if you can consistently hit those short-term goals, you will eventually hit your long-term goal, right? And I think a good, very short interim first-year goal would be 6 figures, but that's not where you stop. That's not where you start diversifying, right? No, you need to start getting residual income, maybe hit 7 figures multiple years in a row before you start diversifying.
That's where, though, here's the struggle too. It's like everyone's goal is like, oh my gosh, I got to make 6 figures. And that's such the target. It's talked about so much. It's like the focus that once they hit it, I see them slow down.
Yeah.
They stop investing.
I've seen it so many times. They hit it and they prop their feet up and they're like, my residuals got me. No, they don't. No. I talk about in my book, which we haven't mentioned yet.
Yes, which I was literally about to get to.
Nice. Yeah. I talk about year one energy. Year one energy is the energy that you have year one building your business, right? You're dialing every day. You're excited. Mm. You're hitting your small, your short-term goals. You may have got this bonus, right? I always see so many people after year one, year two, year three, they start to slow down. For me, I've kept year one energy for 7 years.
Cool.
And that's how I've been able to propel to what I have now, is I didn't slow down. I didn't get my foot off the pedal. I still actively write policies. I still have clients. Today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah. I sure
That's
do.
That's cool. Well, the book.
Sure.
Yeah. What is it? What's it called?
It's called Soul Beneficiary. It's on Amazon. It's spelled S-O-U-L, Soul Beneficiary. And I'm really excited to, like, a strange fact. I told you before we started filming, I recently just sold its 4,000th copy.
It's great.
Which,
so good.
To me, blows my mind because it's an insurance book.
Yeah.
Right? But it talks about, like, my story and, like, what I did. It gives the actual script that I use, how to build a team, how to structure your day, what to do with time blocking, and talks about year one energy.
I think anyone can learn from, I know anyone can learn from that book.
Yeah.
No matter what industry they're in or what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not mistaken, there was a
a workbook.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It goes with it. It's called The Entrepreneur's Mindset. And it helps you structure your day. It goes over what limiting beliefs you may have, helps you kind of work through those. It talks about fear setting, which I love, which is essentially what's the worst thing that can happen. So many people are afraid of all these weird outcomes. Like if I dial, what if? Well, what if? What's the worst thing that could happen? You got hung up on and they yell at you.
They call you names.
They hurt your feelings, right? So the book goes over that. And it really just kind of, because insurance, you know, Cody, is mostly mindset. I can teach you about copay, deductible, and coinsurance all day long. Those are not hard concepts. That's not rocket science. The reason why most people fail is because they're not mentally ready for the challenge that it takes to build your own business.
Totally.
So the book works through all that.
So awesome. Soul Beneficiary. What was the inspiration for the book?
My sister.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
So great. I love that. What was her name?
Jenny.
Jenny.
Jesse and Jenny.
Jesse and Jenny. That's so, and J-E-N-N-Y?
I. Just like me.
Jesse and Jenny, both with an I, in case you were thinking Jesse's with a Y. It's nope.
Yeah.
J-E-S-S-I.
Yeah.
I love that. This has been fun.
It has, Cody. This is one of our best, really. I haven't talked about me stealing stuff in like forever.
I think if we go another hour, I could probably get some more out of you.
I don't know. I think I'm it.
We're going to bring you back then. How about that?
Sure. Sounds good.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you for doing this. What if they want to learn more, where do they go?
They can go to joininspiredinsurance.com.
I mean, I think following you on Instagram is always a great idea, too.
Oh, yeah. Instagram. I forget I have that sometimes. It's at It's Jesse Park. So ITSJESSIPARK.
It's Jesse Park with Inspired Insurance Solution. Thank you for coming back. Welcome back on the channel. Amazing interview and appreciate all you do for agents.
Thank you, Cody. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you. Okay. Also, thank you guys, man, for hanging with us. We've been going for about 50 minutes-ish. Phenomenal interview with Jesse Park. Here's what I want to ask you to do. Okay. A few things. One, follow Jesse on Instagram. It's Jesse Park. Also, if you enjoyed this, let us know in comments below. Potentially share it with someone that needs to hear it. And you know what I would love? Share a clip of you watching this on your social media and tag Jesse Park and Cody Askins. That doesn't happen a lot. I'm going to throw a curveball at you.
Yeah.
Either way, thanks for hanging with us. Thanks for listening to the Power Player Podcast. We will see you on the next episode. Adios.
Hey, if you enjoyed this, I got another one you're going to love. It's right there. Click on it. See you in there.
I'm so excited for today's CA Power Player Podcast. I'm your host, Cody Askins. We got a special guest. He is back on the channel talking about how to sell life insurance from home. Here's what I love about this person. Yeah, I'm telling you, this will be one of the best.